This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you can join us on today's program. The end times. That subject has fascinated people for the last 2,000 years. When will the end come? When will Jesus return to this earth? There have been many times in the past where Christians believed that Jesus was going to return to this earth. We're going to look at that question today, and we're going to look at it from the perspective of those who obsess or focus on the end times and whether or not that's something we should be doing, and also those who take a measured approach to this particular subject. And we'll even talk a little bit about scoffers. There are some out there who doubt that the end could even occur, and we will look briefly at that particular angle of this subject also. Now, when we think about the end times, many are looking at the economic situation today. And the economists look out over the next year or so, and they think that the economy will not be doing that good over the next year. Some say that this economic situation is almost as bad as the Great Depression was. Now, we know it hasn't reached that level yet. But when people look at headlines, they sometimes seize upon those headlines and look for verification of that in the Bible. Let's take the economic situation just for a minute. If we looked over in Revelation 13 and verse 17, notice what it says there in relation to the end times. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, some might look at dire economic situations in the world and seize upon scriptures like this in the Bible to try to relate that to it. Now, at some point, there is going to be a relation to this in your Bible. Whether or not that's today's economic situation or not, I don't know. But what we need to be wary of is we need to be aware that many times in the past, people have looked at scriptures in the Bible and they were wrong about how they interpreted them in relation to the end times. So we will look at some scriptures to try to come up with some ideas as to what we need to be aware of. But more importantly, I think it's more important to be aware of how God wants us to live our lives as Christians day in and day out. Are we living through that law of love with our fellow man and with God? Sometimes when we begin to focus and obsess on the end and what's happening in the news, we lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing each and every day as a Christian. And I don't want us to lose sight of that. One other scripture to take a quick look at before we really get rolling on today's program is over in 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 3, notice what it says there, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So we will also address some of you scoffers who are out there. So hopefully, if you're still listening, I want you to hang in there on today's program. I want to look at some things that may naturally occur in this world, in our universe, that could affect this world and how long it goes and exists. But before we do any of that, what I'd like to do is offer you some free literature and also a free CD. The literature I'd like to offer you on today's program is titled The Beast of Revelation. Who, what is the Beast of Revelation? You know, when John looked in Revelation and began to talk about this beast that rose up out of the sea, many people throughout history have tried to figure out what he meant by it. There are some keys in the Bible that can help us understand a little bit more about this beast of Revelation, and the booklet, Who, What is the Beast of Revelation, will assist you in looking at that subject. We'd also like to offer you a free sermon CD titled 2012 End Times? Some are talking about the year 2012 as being significant. The Mayan calendar ends in December 2012. Will that be the end of our days on earth? Listen to this CD to get a measured approach to understanding this subject about 2012. To get both of these items, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. I want to thank you all for joining us today. Please get that literature and that CD. They'll help you in looking at this topic of the end times. Now, in Christian history, there have been various times when Christians believed that the end was near. And I'm going to go all the way back to the early Christians in the New Testament, and I want to show you a scripture. This is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm going to pick it up there in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 7. Notice what it says. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. Now, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. Now, some commentators believe, the early Christians believe, that the end times were going to come in their lifetime. Other commentators disagree, but from scriptures like this, you can understand why some believe the early Christians were looking forward to the end times in their era. We know that did not occur. We know the end times did not come in that first century in the Christian history. And as we move through history, we come up to 999 AD. And something interesting happened in Europe at that time. As it was beginning to dawn on the first 1,000 years after the birth of Christ, Christians started to wonder, could this be the time of the end? And there was a little bit of hysteria in Europe. Commerce between cities and towns decreased. Prisoners were let out of prison. People flocked to the confessional booths. Pilgrims flocked to Jerusalem. The poor were fed liberally. All this because some thought the end might be upon them. And as the clock ticked down to December 31st, 999, and went into 1000 AD, time continued on as it had always continued. The end did not come. As we come into history a little bit further, the 13th century, the plague took over Europe. One out of three Europeans perished from this disease epidemic. That's 30 to 35 million people, ladies and gentlemen. If you were alive at that time, do you think you might have thought the end was coming? I think that would be a logical assumption if you were alive at that time. But once again, the end did not come. It did not happen at that time either. As we move closer to our times today, in the 1800s, there was a Christian movement known as the Millerites. And the Millerites, which were led by William Miller, believed that on a certain date in 1844, Jesus Christ would return to this earth. He did not come on that date. So they recalculated, and came up with another date. Once again, Jesus Christ did not return. The end was not upon us. And this caused the end of that particular religious organization. And from that movement came the Seventh-day Adventist movement. As we move forward into the 1900s, World War I, 1914, the Jehovah's Witnesses believed that Jesus Christ was coming at that time to bring His kingdom to this earth. Now, it didn't happen. And so they thought about it a little bit more, and they decided that Jesus Christ actually was ruling, but He was ruling from heaven. And he was going to come eventually to this earth. But once again, you determine whether or not you agree with that assumption on the part of the witnesses. As we went into World War II, there were many Christians who believed that was going to lead us to the end of time. Some thought Mussolini or Hitler might be the beast. But again, they were wrong. Mussolini and Hitler were not the beast of the end times of Revelation that's in your Bible. So it's interesting, as we look at all these things in history, we need to be wary of those who talk about, say, 2012 today, because that's being a significant date for some today, because the Mayan calendar ends on December 2012. Now, is that going to be the end time? Should we believe in something like that? I say no, we should not believe in dates, ladies and gentlemen. Those who pick dates have been wrong in the past. We've proven that by looking at church history and Christian history. What we should do is look at our Bibles and not focus or obsess about the end times, but just be aware of what the Bible has to say about the end times. Now, in saying that, let's take a look at some of the things Jesus said would occur in the end times. And I'm going to first go to Matthew chapter 24. Now, in Matthew 24, the disciples came to Jesus and they were asking him, what's going to be the sign of the end? And he says here in verse 4, Jesus answered them and said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying I am the Christ and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. Now, when you think about this, all these things have been happening for the last 2,000 years, haven't they? Yes, they have. So what's different about what Jesus says here in Matthew 24? Well, notice verse 14 of Matthew 24. He says there, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now that's significant, because when you think about the gospel getting to all nations, could it get to all nations 500 years ago? When you think about the mass media today, when you think about the printed page, TV, radio, the internet, the capability of getting the gospel to all nations has been greatly enhanced in the last 100 years or so. So just something to think about when we look at this topic of the end times. Something else Jesus mentions in verse 22 of Matthew 24. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, when in history have we ever had a time where we're worried about the extinction of mankind? 500 years ago, could we be worried about the extinction of mankind? Well, maybe if a comet hit the earth at that time, that might have done something. But when we think about the extinction of mankind and you look at the proliferation of nuclear weapons today, the genie has been let out of the bottle. We can't go back. The information on how to create nuclear weapons is out there, and it will be out there for the rest of human history. And we know what a nuclear winter could do to this earth. There are many books that have been written about that particular subject. So again, these times are a little bit different when we compare them to previous times, looking at these scriptures dealing with the end times. But here's what I want you to really focus on, verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. You're going to know when it happens, ladies and gentlemen. There's not going to be any doubt. We're not going to have a secret coming of Jesus. Jesus is going to let you know that it's happened. So therefore, don't obsess about it. Don't worry about it. Take care of doing the right thing as a Christian, and the Father will take care of the end times. Now, to those scoffers out there who don't think the end can ever come, I want to digress a little bit. I want to move away from the Bible, but before that, I do that, I want to go to one more scripture in Revelation chapter 8. Now, Revelation is a very complicated book. There's a lot of symbolism in Revelation. We also believe there's a lot of reality about what's going to happen in the future. And John saw in vision many of these things in the book of Revelation. And some believe A lot of it is symbolic. Some believe it's all symbolic. Some believe a lot of it is physical and real. Some believe it's a mixture. So when we look at something like Revelation chapter 8, let me read you something here. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 8. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and a third of the springs of water, and the name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Now, looking at those scriptures, if you just thought of seeing that in vision, you might get the idea in your mind of comets or meteors or asteroids. And I want to talk a little bit about that right now. Comets, meteors, and asteroids, these are natural occurrences in our universe. So you scoffers out there, I want you to listen from what is naturally occurring in the universe right now. Let's put the Bible aside just for a moment. Now, in the book Apocalypse 2012, which was written by Lawrence Joseph, he addresses some of the issues that could be relevant if the earth was to end or this age was to end. And he talks about comets and meteors. Now, out beyond our solar system is something called the Oort cloud. Within this Oort cloud are the nuclei of future comets. So there are comets that are not even created yet that could be created in the future and have some impact with our solar system by circumnavigating our solar system. Another area within our solar system that is out around Pluto and Neptune is known as the Kuiper Belt. Now, what we have out there are short-term comets, which circumnavigate our universe in less than 200 years. In fact, in 1994, the Shoemaker-Levy comet actually impacted Jupiter. As it split apart, it hit Jupiter, and some of the impact zones were as big as the Earth. You can look at this on the internet if you do a search on Shoemaker-Levy 9 comet, and you will see how big the impact zones were on the planet Jupiter. Now, could a comet hit the Earth? Well, it's a slim chance that a comet could hit the Earth. Jupiter is much larger, has a greater gravitational pull. But if a comet did hit the Earth, some scientists say it would burn the Earth to a crisp if something like Shoemaker-Levy had hit the Earth. But let's come in a little bit closer to the Earth, out to the asteroid belt around Mars and Jupiter. We're aware of 200 asteroids out there in that belt. There are another 1,800 that scientists say are there, but we're not aware of them. Now, let me tell you a little bit about asteroids. In 1989, asteroid 1989 FC passed within, get this, 690,000 miles of the Earth. So the Earth is going along in its orbit, and this asteroid passes within about 690,000 miles of the Earth as the Earth is moving. Now, something I want you to think about. 690,000 miles. How far is that? Well, that's hard for us to fathom because we've probably never driven that in 1 or 2 days. But here's how far 690,000 miles is if we're talking about the time of the Earth moving in its orbit. The Earth was here, and as the Earth passed, 6 hours later, where the Earth was, this asteroid 1989 FC was. In other words, it missed the Earth by 6 hours of the Earth's orbit. Now that makes it a little bit different when you think about it. If that asteroid had hit the Earth, it was a half kilometer size asteroid. If it had hit the Earth, scientists tell us it would have caused some great damage to this Earth. Even if it hit the water, it would cause some damage through tsunamis. If it hit land, it would have devastated that area of land wherever it may have hit. Scientists believe that every 500,000 years, every 500,000 years or so, an asteroid of the size of 1 kilometer should hit the Earth. So just playing the cards and looking at, mathematics and deciding we have this many asteroids out there, this many or this size, every 500,000 years or so, they believe, an asteroid of 1 kilometer or larger should hit the Earth. The one that passed 6 hours away from the Earth was a half kilometer in size. But let's go back to 1908, ladies and gentlemen, in Tunguska, Siberia. Now, when I was a kid, I remember hearing about this in grade school, and science was not sure what happened in Tunguska, Siberia in 1908. Now they are sure. They believe that a piece of rock, what they call a bolide, a really small asteroid, impacted the Earth in Tunguska, Siberia. Now, this would be much smaller than asteroid 1989 FC. It's also smaller than a 1-kilometer-sized asteroid. But what did that bolide do when it impacted Tunguska, Siberia in 1908? It incinerated hundreds of square miles of forest. Hundreds of square miles of forest were incinerated. And let me give you that date again. 1908, ladies and gentlemen. 1908. Now, the force of that particular bolide, what was the force of that bolide? Well, we're all familiar with the Hiroshima bomb, are we not? We know how that single Hiroshima bomb devastated Hiroshima at the end of World War II. Scientists tell us, and again, these are the scientists, this is what they say. They say the force of that bolide that hit Tunguska, Siberia was of 1,000 Hiroshima bombs. That was the force of that bolide hitting Tunguska, Siberia. Now, when you think about that and you realize that was only about 100 years ago or so, those of you who are scoffers about the Earth ever ending or waiting until the sun implodes before the Earth is going to end, you gotta take note of that. Because that's real, folks. That's reality. That's the natural world. And those of you who believe in the Bible, you know that God can supernaturally affect the world. He can supernaturally affect nature. So taking that all into account, just something to put aside and think about when we think about end time scenarios. One last point I'd like to make in relation to Scripture on looking at things in the future that may have something to do with the end. I want to turn briefly to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11, and I want to address something that he talks about here in Daniel 11. If you read the entire chapter, you will read about a general called a king of the north and a king of the south. And these two generals came out of the breakup of Alexander's empire, and they began to battle over Alexander's empire. Now, where the king of the north and the king of the south battled was in and around Jerusalem and Israel and the Middle East. And they battled over this, and as you read down through here, in verse 40, it says something a little bit different. It says, at the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. Now, it's saying that at the time of the end, this will also occur. There will be a future king of the north and a future king of the south. And here's the key. They will be battling over the glorious land, it says. The glorious land refers to Israel in and around Jerusalem. So that's another key to remember about the end times. There will be armies arrayed in battle around that particular land when we're near to the end times. So again, something to keep in mind if we're talking about the end times. But more importantly, ladies and gentlemen, what I want you to remember is that God doesn't want us to worry about these things. He doesn't want us to be concerned or obsessing about the end times. He'd rather have us living the proper Christian life, and He'll take care of when the end is going to come. And I just want to show you a scripture. I'd like to read a scripture to you, and it's over in the book of Matthew. And we're going to take a look at a scripture in Matthew chapter 10. So let's look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 briefly. Notice what it says here in Matthew 10 and verse 28. Don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. What God is saying here is that you are of more value than many sparrows. If God knows the hairs on your head, He's going to be concerned for you. If you're following God, He's going to watch out for you. It doesn't matter if the end comes, God is going to be there for us. So let's focus on God, what God wants us to do in this life. As it says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. If we fear God and keep His commandments, He will take care of us, and we will come up in a resurrection, a future resurrection. Don't worry about the end times, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know when the end is going to come. The Father knows when the end is going to come, but I know I need to be following the Father until that end time. Bye for now. We'll see you again.
You, O Daniel, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Presently, no other time in man's history so accurately describes our era than that of Daniel's two-line prophecy. Consider the technology of the computer and how it's opened up a whole new array of sharing, transferring, and discovering new ways of doing things. So much knowledge has improved the many facets of healthcare, energy, transportation, and engineering. Space travel has opened up a whole new frontier, from moon landings to space stations designed for deeper exploration projects. Currently, even Mars landings are already retrieving information, revealing new increases in knowledge. Research and experimentation outside of the confines and restrictions of the Earth's environment portends new developments in science and medicine. But regrettably, fatal strategies never before imagined are being developed to produce the unthinkable destruction upon specific cultures of the world. These evil projects and plans are gaining access to some of the most dreadfully lethal and devastating weapons mankind has ever known. Won't you let us help you to better understand the seriousness of our times? Call now, 888-578-8791, and ask for both of the free offers that we're presenting on today's telecast. Who, what is the Beast of Revelation? And a one-hour presentation by Mike James, 2012, presenting the question, are these really the latter days? Dial now, 888-578-8791, and don't forget about that website at www.cgi.org. Friends, you keep on that armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.